This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello, welcome to episode number 103 of the Out of Bounds podcast. I'm Adam, I'm your host. And we got another good one today. Today is Connery Lundin's episode, and he is a professional skier for Blizzard Skis, as well as a bunch of other brands. And he is an awesome guy. We had kind of chatted last year. We were thinking about doing it in person. And then this year, like, because of the whole, you know, thing, we decided to just get it done. We'll hope we can get it done. He's a great dude. Share some awesome stories, and especially one of my favorite Connery Lundin stories he tells is about the GoPro that was found, and that was a great one. It's definitely one to make sure you listen to, but he tells it in this episode, so listen up. Before we jump into the episode, I just wanted to thank our sponsor, Fisher's Keys, for sponsoring another episode of the podcast. They're our seasonal sponsor, so they're the ones that, you know, really support the show. So be sure to check out all of the things that they have to offer. For 2020, 2021, the upcoming season, these guys have decided to upgrade a boot that was already great, the Ranger Free 130. It's my favorite boot. It's my go-to boot. It's the thing I ski every single day. Unless, like, I'm looking for a super dedicated touring boot, this thing does any touring day that you want. Any regular ski day. I mean, it's great on groomers. It's stiff. It's compliant, if that's the right word. It's great. I really, really love using this boot, and I don't think there's very many on the market quite like it. The walk mode is super easy to use. It's right above the top buckle, or right below the top buckle, rather. It's lightweight. They actually beefed it up a little bit this year. They are using GorillaMed, which is just another ski boot plastic, of all the ones that you can use. You can use PU, you can use GorillaMed, you can use bi-injection mold shells. I mean, there's a bunch of different stuff that you can use. GorillaMed is harder to work on, but it's lightweight and offers probably the best overall stiffness to weight ratio, and that's why they use it in a boot like this that's made to do everything. I've really, really enjoyed skiing it. I've been on the new one for a little bit now. For the 2021 one for a little bit now, as well as the older version, which was also awesome. This is just an improvement on a product that's already rad in my eyes. Basically, they just improved the liner and re-engineered the cuff, so it gets a little bit more of that power transfer that everybody's looking for on those groomer days, or on a powder day, or in the backcountry, or wherever. More power is a good thing. So I've really been enjoying that thing. So, that's basically it. I mean, you know, check out fishersports.com and Fisher Ski on Instagram. Hit them up. If you have questions, hit me up. Hit them up. Let them know that we sent you, whatever you want. Hit everybody up, really. I mean, just, like, check on in with people, you know? I think that's basically it for today. We are going to try to stick to a little more regular episode schedule, although honestly it's been a little weird because, like, I try to not do these episodes in person so much, or I try to not do these episodes over the phone, over the internet, but that's basically the world we live in right now, so it kind of throws a wrench in those plans, but we're going to try to do as many in person as we can safely do, and then we're going to just keep doing Skype ones, for the foreseeable future, I guess. The plan is Monday or Tuesday, episodes will come out, and that's it. We'll put them out when they come out on the social medias and all that stuff, and if you're a subscriber, you'll see it in the podcast app on Apple Podcasts. Same thing with Spotify. If you're a subscriber, you will get the notification, so be sure to subscribe. Leave us a review on iTunes if you can. It helps the show a ton. We would love to keep doing this for as long as we possibly can. We can't do that without you guys, so I really, really appreciate it as always. Give us a follow on social media. It's just at Out of Podcast, and we'll We will talk to you guys, after this, but we'll also talk to you guys next week. Hopefully with Meme the Whites or North Division. Those episodes are a little weird because the creators of the accounts, both of them, are secret, and I haven't quite figured out the best way to make their voices disguised while not my own voice, if that makes sense. So you may end up getting a super disguised pod. It'll be hilarious either way. Both of them were awesome. Anyway, without further ado, Connery Lundeen, episode number 103. Thanks. All right, Connery, who are you? Tell the people a little bit about yourself, what you do, who you are, the whole deal, like the whole intro.
The whole sales pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's up, guys? My name is Connery Lundeen. I am a big mountain skier. I grew up in California, Lake Tahoe. Specifically, I grew up in San Francisco. I was a weekend warrior until about 16, and then I went up to Sugar Bowl Academy and skied there my last 2 years of high school. I was a ski racer, kind of turned big mountain skier. You know, you've heard that story before. It's a great foundation to have, which is why so many of us do it that way. And then I ended up going to school in University of Colorado Boulder, and having quit racing, I kind of refell in love with skiing and did some competitions, had some success while I was in school. And then once I graduated, it was kind of, do I get a real job or should I try and pursue the skiing thing? And I kind of went full on, dropped in on the skiing thing. And, now we're here.
Yeah. Sick. Why did you make that call? Like what pushed you to be like, okay, yeah, like I definitely want to do the skiing thing. Like, this is what I'm going to pursue.
Well, I went to school at Boulder. I studied business. So, in that atmosphere, you're kind of like pressured to really get an office job, work in a city. That's kind of what they value in business school. And it just didn't seem like it was for me. And, I was going to school with dudes like Matt Walker and like Nick Martini. We were all like in classes together. And I saw the route that they had taken using business to kind of help their skiing.
Yep.
And it was a late start, I guess, because, a lot of pro skiers start when they're 12, 15, 16, 18. Yeah. And my career sort of kicked off, after college when I was 22.
Yeah.
So a slightly backwards way to go about it. But for big mountain skiing, it's such a knowledge-based sport, and technical, but a park skier, you want to have a really strong young body. Yeah. A big mountain skier, you want to have a really solid mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always interesting to see people like make that transition, I guess, from like not really being sure if they want to pursue it to like it actually being a real thing.
Totally. And not to say park skiers don't have a solid head on their shoulders, but in big mountains, you want to make the right decisions all the time because one wrong decision could lead to disaster.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very different thing.
Yeah. So that's basically my spiel. And, I live in Squaw Valley, Lake Tahoe now.
Cool.
And that's my home resort. It's where I grew up skiing. I've lived in Jackson Hole before this for a couple of years.
Yeah. Cool.
And, just love skiing, dude. Love all types of skiing. Just like yourself.
Yeah, for sure. What's it been like recently for you? I'm gonna like try not to talk about the whole COVID thing because I'm sure everybody, including myself, is fucking kind of sick of hearing about it. But like, how has that affected you as an athlete? Like, what do you do now? Like, you can't be skiing every single day. I mean, maybe you are, but it's different if you are.
Totally. No, it's I was in Jackson Hole until the end of February, and I got back to Tahoe right as things were starting to heat up with the whole COVID thing. I was in Squaw for one day and then got a call to film up in Whistler with Matchstick. And on my way up there, I stopped at Lucas Walks' house. He's in Bend. He's halfway. And shit hit the fan with COVID and the borders locked down. I basically drove, 8 hours up there and then turned around. Hung out with Lucas for a little bit. But yeah, it was weird just to kind of have what I consider the you know, the best time of the season, March and April, when things are filled in and we have more light to film with and avalanche conditions stabilize somewhat, taken away from us.
Yeah.
So, I basically came back to Tahoe, and in the midst of all of it, it was kind of like, do I give up on the season now? Or, you know, Tahoe started getting pounded on, like,
really?
right when COVID happened. So it was a little hard not to go skiing. I'm not going to lie. I was skiing a little bit and, trying to be productive, doing some film and stuff, during all the chaos, but not posting anything. I think that was key, is just not being in your face about it.
Yeah. I think that's an important piece that kind of gets like talked about a little less, I guess, is like, you don't really want to be like pushed, because everybody that watches you is like, oh shit, he's going skiing. If he's going skiing, I can go skiing, you know?
Right. Right. And, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area, so I have so many friends that live in San Francisco and Oakland that come up to Tahoe all the time. They have time leases and rentals, you know. If I'm posting awesome ski videos, or anyone up here, then they're like, oh, you know, maybe I should just screw this quarantine and go up to the lease, and then things go crazy from there. So anyway, it definitely changed the flow and the vibe of, you know, March and April, without a doubt.
Yeah. Is it going to affect anything as far as like projects that you guys were, that you were working on? You know, are there things that like movies that are going to be coming out in the fall that are not going to happen the same way anymore? Like, how is it affecting that kind of thing?
Yeah, I know with, you know, like TGR and Matchstick and Warren Miller, like, sadly Level One's not in anymore, but I know that, you know, a majority of their filming, because they're, you know, more big mountainy, chargy type movies, got cut out completely.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. You know, what did people shoot up until this?
Yeah.
You know, how are they maybe going to pivot the story beyond just the skiing? Who knows, dude? I don't know if they know. I haven't really talked to them, but
yeah,
it'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. I think that's like what people aren't really thinking about so much, is like what's going to happen like in the fall. I think everybody's just like, oh, like we have the flu right now, like no big deal, but like it'll be weird.
Yeah, yeah, it is weird, but Tahoe's been beautiful, dude. I live in Squaw. I'm staring at the mountain right now, and it's spring is like my favorite time to ski. It's low pressure. It's sunny. You're wearing a t-shirt here in California.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get out there at like 10:30, it starts to soften up, you take some corn laps, ski some park. It's fun.
Sick.
But it's not happening this year. It's all good.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. What have you been doing to pass the time? Other than skiing.
Other than skiing. Totally. Yeah. I been working on my truck a little bit, kind of like building out the camper. Just a camper shell, nothing crazy. And just like hanging out with friends. I've been learning new Adobe Suite applications.
Sick.
That's kind of my next goal. I've got like very basic Premiere skills for editing video, but it'd be really cool to learn how to mix audio, do some After Effects stuff. I think it'd be more, I'd have a lot more fun with it if, you know, a few more dimensions and I knew more. So that's kind of a new goal as of the last week.
Yeah.
I had a friend nice enough to teach me some After Effects stuff, because that application is freaking crazy.
Yeah, there's so much shit in all those Adobe apps. Like, there's just like, yeah, it's way over my head.
Yeah, it's, well, you probably have to do some audio mixing, so.
I don't do hardly any of this shit. Like, I have a dude that, like, a buddy of mine that I, like, kind of started the show with, and he basically like that's what he does. He like doesn't want to be on mic at all, so like, but totally. He just wants to edit, so that's basically how we run it, is like he essentially takes care of all that shit, and then I'll do this part of it, which is nice, because like if I had to do all the editing and all the cutting and mixing shit, like I don't think it's not for me. Not for me.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm a fan of the podcast.
Well, I appreciate it. What's it been like being on the Blizzard team, and how long have you been on Blizzard?
Dude, yeah, I've been on Blizzard for 8 years now. Fuck. It's pretty wild.
Sick. How old are you?
I'm 30.
All right. So that's quite a while.
Yeah. Pretty much out of college. Right. The first year I started skiing for them, I wasn't, I was just getting flow, free gear and stuff. They came out with their Coach Ski. So they kind of shifted from I forget what they're making to their Coach Ski, which was the flip core design that Arnie Backstrom designed.
Yep.
And that kind of changed Blizzard's trajectory for the better for up until now and beyond. They didn't really make twin tips then. I was kind of like, whoa, dude, what is this brand? You know, I like high performance skis. Anything built in Austria, you can basically trust because Austrians are,
yeah, they're fucking on it.
Gung ho when they get after it. But yeah, I've been on Blizzard for 8 years and it's been great. You know, every year the skis get better and it's nice to be with a brand for a long time.
Yeah. What was that transition like going from like being a flow athlete, like just getting skis to like being like on their actual team?
Yeah, that was, it took a long time and it was basically in 2015. So 2 years after college. So I've been on Blizzard for maybe 2 or 3 years. I won the Free Skiing World Tour, which doesn't even exist anymore.
Yep.
Basically died off, which is sad. It'd be so cool if they brought it back, but that's a different tangent. But yeah, I won the Free Skiing World Tour in 2015, and that was kind of like my credential or step into the transition from flow to getting some sort of contracts and funding. Yeah. And it wasn't a lot to start, and I had no idea how to navigate or anything. None of us do.
Yeah,
some are better than others, but yeah, that was the time. And then from there I decided that, I wanted to like really film. I'd competed for like 4 or 5 years through college and, competing is really fun, but dude, it's scary as hell.
I'm sure. I can't even imagine.
Like, yeah, any given day, like competition finals are set for Saturday, let's say, and it could be Greybird and it could be icy and someone is still going to fly off the biggest cliff on that venue. Like you don't want to be that guy, but I was that guy for maybe a couple of venues or competitions or years, and it's a lot. It's fun, it's scary, and it's also the best training or whatever you want to call it for filming, because you're basically having to do the same thing. You're looking at the line, thinking how you want to ski it, you want to impress the judges, you want to impress the cameras. It's the same dynamic. You just, instead of having an audience and people freaking cheering you on and handing you beers in the finish line, you get to the bottom and you're alone, you know, like, you!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that's crazy.
It's awesome. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. That's a very weird thing to even think about. It's like, oh yeah, conditions could be shitty and you're still going, like the competition's still on, like unless it's like that bad, right, where they're closing the whole thing down, like you're going
totally.
That's bizarre versus like filming, and is like you can kind of pick your days a little better.
Yeah, I mean, you ideally you want like freaking bluebird skies. Yeah. Squeaky blower powder.
Yeah.
Stable conditions. It's all nerve-wracking to some extent, but I think the competition thing is rad.
Yeah.
It's super rad.
Is there, yeah, there seems to be a lot more people getting into like back into competitions, I guess. I mean, obviously the big one was Tanner, and then like, I forget who else has been jumping back. Tim Durchie's been back into it. Like,
yep.
It's like,
yeah,
it seems like it's Freeride World Tour, which obviously is different than Free Skiing World Tour, but it seems like people are getting back into that competition side of it.
Yeah, which is really, it's cool because it's kind of like a level playing field. You know, everyone's skiing the same venue. You start first, you have better snow conditions, obviously. But even more so, it's just cool to watch like those guys, how they choose to ski the lines they pick, you know?
Yeah.
Like Tanner's skiing a completely different line than, hard charger guy from Europe, like, yeah, Rene or Drew Tabke. So it's just cool, the different styles that they have on the tour now. I think it's really fun to watch. It's dope.
Yeah, I think it's cool because it definitely brings more eyeballs to it too, and I think it needs that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it does.
What's the difference for you? Obviously, there's a difference, but like when you're skiing for the camera, like ski acting versus like regular, like you're out there skiing by yourself. Like, what are the things you're thinking about? Like, what are the things that are different about those two things?
Yeah, skiing for the camera, I kind of overthink or think more for the smaller things, like a left footed turn over a cliff bend where you might be able to spray some snow off of that and kind of slough it, and then head over to your line. You know, you think of small stuff like that where that might look good on film, where if you're just skiing for fun, you're just like, I just want to get from the top to the bottom as fast as I can and make it look as rad as possible.
Yeah.
So filming is a little more thought out, I would say. You kind of like have your spots and just anything to make that moment just a little sicker. You can do that. You're stoked.
Yeah. You also did some work with Warren Miller last year, and I'm not sure if you did before as well. What was that like?
Dude, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That all came together super last minute, but, Spider got me into the movie, and we were filming in Silverton almost exactly this time last year. It was this time a week before. So it was late spring. We didn't know if we'd have good conditions at all, but those mountains in the San Juans, Silverton are freaking 14,000 feet. They're huge.
Yeah.
So we were doing a lot of touring. We had two heli days, and I got to work with Tom Day and Jeff Wright, two sick filmers that are both live in Tahoe. They're homies. And then Jalen Koff and Lorraine Huber. And anyway, it was an awesome trip. It was really fun filming with them. Very low pressure. You know, they're kind of just like, you know, just ski what you want to ski. And when you don't feel pressure to do things, it can almost help you to do those things that you might not want to do or be scared of. So, really fun experience.
Yeah. That's gotta be good.
You've been out to Silverton?
No, never.
Oh dude, it's so sick. It's kind of like a COVID. It kind of has a COVID vibe going all the time. It's like a ghost town.
I think that's what people are going to be hunting for. Like everybody, dude, I mean, I work at a ski and bike shop, and like we've been so busy, like every single day. Like every day has been like, every trailhead's full. Everybody wants to ride their bike. Everybody wants to go ski touring. Like I have like customers of mine that like are normally like, I'm going to buy race skis, that are like buying ski touring stuff now because like it's weird. And like you want, like you spend all this time, right? Like working at a shop, and like the thing is like, you want people to be out on skis or out on a bike, and that should like make you psyched. But it's also like, where were all these people before? Like, no, this is all weird.
Right.
Like it's just out of nowhere. Like it's fucking, everything is so busy. Like the trailhead that I like near my house is usually like, there's no one there, right? There's no one riding. And now it's like, you'll go there midday on a Tuesday and the place is like completely full. Like it's a huge swing.
Yeah, dude. I think people that would normally maybe not go outside or go outside as often are, they're like, let's go do something. So
yeah, I hope that's the thing that sticks around, you know, a little more after this.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of negatives, but I think there's gonna be a lot of sweet positives that come out of this in terms of just like slowing down and, you know, not having to rely on just like the little things that we get caught up in day to day. And just slowing the pace of this crazy world we're living.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, especially in the beginning, I was like, this is rad. Like having a break from everything, like it's a bummer that it's forced, but it's a nice thing.
Yeah. So, totally.
Have you noticed it being more busy in your area too? Like, or is it just like because you're an actual you're in an actual mountain town, like it's only people that live there? Is that more of the situation? Like, what's it like?
Yeah, it's actually pretty quiet here.
Okay.
It's pretty quiet here.
I've heard that from a lot of people that live in like actual mountain towns. Like, I mean, Banff is the one I've been to most recently, and that's like, they were like, it's a ghost town. Like the center of town is like zero, and usually it's just all visitation, you know? So it's all people hanging out and just stopping through town or whatever, but they're like, it's a ghost town.
Yeah. It kind of feels like, that weird period in the fall where there's no good weather and there's no snow and shops are closed. And,
yeah.
But it's beautiful and there's snow everywhere and there's mountain biking and you can golf and you can go disc golf and there's rock climbing. So the distractions are there, but I think people are slowly easing into them.
Yeah. Have any of the conversations like with your sponsors changed, like what they're wanting from you, like what they're asking of you, you know, has anybody like reached out and been like, oh, do you want to do like more Instagram lives or like, cause that's what everybody seems to be doing is Instagram totally, lives. Yeah.
I did an Instagram live with Elise. It was super fun. Elise Sogstad.
Yeah.
Just kind of shooting the shit. Like, but yeah, I think it's just like a time where, maybe just looking at, you know, past things and telling more stories as an athlete, it's a good time for that. You know, I'm not trying to post like the raddest clips and it just doesn't feel like I'm like, you know, it's just a weird time for Instagram. And I think a lot of athletes don't love using Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
I don't like being stuck on my phone. Just on Instagram trying to do that stuff all winter, but it's part of the job and it's, you got to do it, but it's been a nice little break.
Yeah.
So I'm just enjoying that right now and still trying to post from time to time, but, nothing in your face, nothing like promotional or.
Yeah. It seems like that's the approach a lot of brands are taking and a lot of athletes are taking. And I think that's probably the right thing. Have you ever thought about having someone else run your social for you?
Yeah, I don't think I'm high profile enough for that.
But, dude, I want somebody to run ours and we're definitely not fucking high profile. I don't know. It's just a lot of engagement, I feel like.
It is. It is a lot. And if the more you do it, the more, you know, the more you get sucked into it. But I think so much of it is just like you and your personality and connecting with people. So having someone else run it would just kind of take that away. And
yeah,
I'm not nearly burnt out on it enough to be there, nor do I have the funds to pay for a social media.
Fair. Yeah, I feel that for sure. But speaking of social media, you found somebody's GoPro, right? This was a little while ago and found them. Did you find them through social?
Yeah. So basically like in the fall, I like to go GoPro hunting.
That's actually what you were doing?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. You know, the fingers at Squaw Valley are like a pretty iconic, clip band under KT-22 right at the base.
Yeah.
And, you know, people fly off of those cliffs and they tend to blow up sometimes. Probably lose GoPros. That's my thought at least. So yeah, in the fall I'll do a few trips like around the fingers and just like cliff bands I know get hit a lot where people might blow up. And so yeah, I was just on my third mission. I hadn't found any GoPros until this one. And this one happened to be right under the chair towards the bottom.
Yeah.
Like I was like, huh, interesting spot for this. It was right next to the base of a sapling, like a tree.
Yeah.
Pine tree. And so anyway, I got home, I like opened it up, charged it, checked out the footage, and the last clip was the clip I looked at, you know, to see how this kid might have lost his GoPro or whoever it was. Yeah, and this kid just slammed into a tree off the cat track. It's right under the chair.
Yeah.
There's a total Hollywood hit like Squaw Valley. And it was a brutal clip. It was hilarious. The kid was okay. And his name's Zenon.
Yeah.
His name is Zenon. And so I posted that clip on my social media story on Instagram. And then all of his friends hit me up who, you know, follow me from Squaw, yada, yada, yada. And so I ended up getting his GoPro back to him. I walked into his classroom like 2 months later
at the
Squaw Valley Academy and totally embarrassed. I was like, yo, Zenon, like, I'm Connery. Like, I found your GoPro. He's like, no way, dude. Like, so rad. Like, I'm so stoked I'll be able to finish my season edit now.
Yeah, it looked like you were setting it pretty good. Like, that's that's a rad last clip. Yeah,
the clip made it on Jerry of the Day. Like, the clip that I recorded of watching it for the first time and then showing it was pretty classic.
That's awesome. Do you find shit out there a lot? Like, I never thought about that, but I guess, like, I lost a fucking toe piece in the woods at Cannon a little while, like, a couple months ago. Like, I'm sure people lose shit all the time. Like,
Dude, yeah, you find, like, pieces of helmet, and you're like, what happened here? Like, hope that guy's all right. I don't see any bones anywhere. But, yeah, I mean, I found two iPhones the time before. An iPhone with a wallet attached to it with credit cards that had expired 4 years before.
No shit.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. weird gems. But yeah, I mean, anyone can walk around the mountain and try and find stuff.
Yeah.
You gotta know the zones, though.
Yeah, for sure. Why, so one of the last questions I have for you is, why'd you pick Squaw? I mean, obviously there's a bunch of places you can live. There's a bunch of places with great skiing and you travel a lot, so you get to see a lot of these, but why pick Squaw as like home base?
Yeah. Good question. Well, I grew up in Oakland, so Squaw is 3 hours from here.
Yep.
Squaw is kind of like, you know, I'm biased, but Squaw is like the badass mountain you want to ski in Tahoe.
Yep.
Kirkwood's also cool. There's a bunch of great mountains.
Yeah.
Squaw's the best, though. And so I grew up skiing here. And after college, you know, I had raced my whole life. And then I went to school in Boulder. So when I got back, I hadn't really, like, free skied Squaw as much as I would have liked.
Yeah.
And so there was, like, so much discovery when I got back. And I just, like, re-fell in love with this place. You know, the Reno airport's 45 minutes away, so it's easy to travel in and out of. My family's down in the bay, and you can go surfing in 3 hours. You can go to Yosemite in 3 hours. There's like so much shit to do.
Yeah.
So close proximity from right here, which is the beauty of California. It's also why this place is totally crowded and there's tons of people that live here. But
yeah. Yeah. It's gotta be mobbed all the fucking time, huh?
Yeah, except for right now, which has been great.
Which is super sick.
But yeah, I lived in Jackson for 2 years after college.
Yeah.
And that was awesome, dude. Jackson Hole is super sick. There's just so much awesome skiing to be had there. They seem to have consistently deep, great winters all the time.
Yeah.
And I love all the people there. It's kind of like my second home mountain. But I just, when I started to travel a little more, flights in and out of Jackson are damn expensive.
Yeah, it's miserable.
Driving to Salt Lake, it was just a little harder, and it's a little more expensive to live in Jackson. So, yeah, I just came back here and just been loving California life, dude.
Sick. What's your favorite, like, if you have to pick a spot to go skiing other than those two places, where are you going? Like, consider, like, weather's good, like, all those other weird factors are out. Like, where's the spot for you?
Dude, I would probably go up to BC.
Yeah.
I would definitely go to BC.
Yeah. It's fucking great.
Yeah, anywhere between, like, Golden, Revelstoke, south of there. There's some great cat skiing operations.
Yeah.
If you have a snowmobile, you're able to access tons, and it's... they just always get hammered January to February. So
yeah,
I spent a month in Revelstoke in January and it was awesome.
A month.
I planned to be there for like a week, maybe a little longer. I brought my sled up there and it wouldn't stop snowing. My buddy JJ Vinette had a spot in Revelstoke. He let me stay, which was amazing. And, yeah, just like soul shredding, not really even shooting photos or filming anything. Just GoPro and fun, and it was a sick time, just soul shredding. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Well, this has been great, dude. Where can people find you on social media? Where can people find out more about you in general if they want to know more?
Yeah, totally. You can pretty much just find me on Instagram at Connery, and instead of Connery, it's Connery.
Sick.
So I don't think there's a lot of Connerys. So if you type in Connery, it should come up. And yeah, that's the spot. And yeah, dude,
sick.
It's been good chatting, dude. Thanks for the opportunity.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. That was episode number 103 with Connery Lundeen. You can follow him on social media at Connery.
on Instagram, because that's what he uses. It's what I use. It's what most people use, I think, at this point as their go-to social media. I would like to hear from you guys. If you guys use anything different as your go-to, let me know. Shoot me an email, shoot me a text, shoot me a DM, whatever. We're trying to figure out what we should kind of focus our efforts on here as we go forward into some exciting things coming up in the next couple months. So, like I said, shoot me an email, DM, text, whatever. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you, as always, to Fisher Skis for sponsoring this episode of the show. And we'll talk to you guys next week with either Meme the Whites or North Division. Both of those are episodes where we have to mask the guest in terms of their voice because they are secret. So we have to figure out a way to do that while still making me sound normal. Otherwise, you're just going to get a whole episode of Robo Voice. But we'll see. We'll see what we can do, and we will go from there. Once again, thank you all. Talk to you soon. Bye.